just not enough. Oh, oh, man. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Miller Show. And now, your host, Gary Miller.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome all of you. Today, we're going to talk about why milk and all those ads we've seen throughout our lives are lies, propaganda by the dairy industry. How can we prevent osteoporosis? How can we have strong bones? I'll share specific protocols. Also today, I'm going to give you something really neat, and this is the body tissues that can be rejuvenated through nutrition. This is the latest research compiled by Sarah G. of GreenMed Info, and this aligns with my own research on a major project I'm doing on anti-aging. So get your pencil and papers ready, because I'm going to share with you how different systems in the body can be reversed in their aging process. Also today, scientists discover vitamin C regulates stem cell function and curbs leukemia development. University of Texas, and much more on health and healing. From our environment, we're going to talk about how depleted uranium, that's in all the gun casings and bullet casings that were used in the first Iraq War in 1991 and the second Iraq War in 2003, and how these stay forever. The half-life of some of this is 4 billion years. So what's it mean when we used so many weapons and bombs, and then the bomb explodes, the bullet explodes, and you have this micro-crystallized uranium mixing with the dust and the sands and being blown all over the Middle East? I'll give you the latest on that. Also, today we're going to take a look at vaccines. I'm going to share a new study, brand new. You have not read about it. It'll be exclusive on the program today, but then you're going to hear from a board-certified physician, pro-vaccine doctor, who took a look not at the safety of vaccines, because she found in her initial belief that vaccines, of course, were safe. They wouldn't be allowed if they weren't. And then she wanted to see how efficacious they were, how effective. Well, she found out that almost all the science was bad science, and the good science wasn't being displayed. The politics were. So she spent thousands, and then over 10,000, then over 15,000 hours researching the topic. You'll hear from her. I filmed her in her own words. Also, I'm sure all of you have heard now about the president's speech about why we have to send 4,000-plus troops back into Afghanistan to show them who's the boss, unleash the generals' hands so they can fight the war they need to fight in order to win it, much like President Johnson did with Westmoreland when he allowed Westmoreland to go in there, and after him, Marshall and others, to win the war in South Vietnam. Well, there's a lot that we should know that the pundits pro and con Trump are not going to tell you. I will. I'm going to give you an accurate history of Afghanistan and why it is virtually impossible, no matter how many troops you have, how many trillions you spend. It's now $4.4 trillion all in, including medical costs, long-term health care for those who have been injured. Corruption, massive. You're going to hear today about how the former president of Afghanistan, Karzai, gave his buddies over $900 million. And we, the American people, paid for that. Was he arrested? Was he fined? No. Were any of the people? No. Billions of dollars just robbed. And oh, by the way, the most corrupt police in the world? Yeah, Afghanistan police. So you're going to get the truth about Afghanistan today, and also a commentary. I don't know how much time we'll have, but if we have time, America Asleep, a commentary from Joseph Stepling, and America's Reign of Terror, A Nation Reaps What It Sows, John Whitehead. I don't know if we'll get to those. Also, I've been promising to show you this car that runs on water. I will today. And also the real life of House of Cards, inside deals, murder, and espionage at the DNC. We'll show you that. I also will play you a brief little segment that will go right before our Afghanistan commentary that I'll give from General Eisenhower. Now, Eisenhower was not a dove. He was a very demanding general. But when he was president, he did support the coup. It started under Truman. Truman didn't want it on his watch. But Eisenhower greenlighted the coup that led to the current state of affairs in Iran. That's when the British government wanted to get back British petroleum oil and convinced Eisenhower that it was in everyone's interest to do that and get the Shah of Iran in place. But he did make a statement, and that statement was all about not trusting the military-industrial complex. And the only people you have around the President of the United States today are the military-industrial complex. And here's a president who is not scholarly, does not have a sense of perspective on history, culture, ethics, morality, spirituality, geopolitics. In fact, outside of being a blustering narcissist, I'm not sure that he could do anything. And also it makes a big difference when your daddy boy gives you $200 million to start. Nice little, you know, hedge against having to actually do anything right in life. So imagine what could come from that mess. I'll explain. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. Now, some of you know, and we're getting new listeners all the time. And by the way, I want to say hello to the 100,000, it's actually 99,000, Facebook people are watching this radio program. We broadcast it live Eastern Standard Time, noon, Monday to Friday. And then later today, every day, our IT expert edits the health and nutrition and environmental segments, and we stream that part. The rest of it, it's only for people who want to hear all these other issues. Some people do, some don't. And if you want to see it all, you can see it on YouTube. And I want to thank the 6 million downloads from Facebook and the 29 million monthly people coming. So a lot of people want this information, but not all of them want all of it. So we start with health. Now, I've been in anti-aging medical research my entire adult life as a research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology, and where I did over 160 experiments. And all those experiments, and I realized yesterday I began to tell you about one of the experiments, but I didn't tell you the end. And here's the end. And I realize not everyone listens every day, so very brief. I wanted to see whether or not doctors were really qualified to decide what kind of diet a patient should have, since the registered dietitian that actually creates the menu, but they create it from what the doctor dictates. So I went around to the different hospitals, only on the Upper East Side, from the 30s up till 100th Street on the East Side. There are a lot of hospitals. And over a period of several weeks, we asked doctors what they recommended to their patients, and that became the doctor's diet. I then created a doctor's diet that we gave to the animals. And then others got standard rat chow. But the third group got what I believed was the importance of a healing foods diet. And that healing foods diet I called a living foods diet, meaning a food contains all of its essential nutrients, its pigments, the yellow, the blue, the purple, the red, the orange. These are the pigments that now we know actually help our DNA to recover and repair, also help protect us from viruses and bacteria and parasites. Also help our blood, to rebuild our blood and help detoxify our kidneys. So the more of these colorful fruits and vegetables you eat, the healthier your body. And that's why I call living foods, because this is the diet that actually helps us live. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, and this took almost 5 years, and I could not have done this had it not been for Dr. Dean and Dr. Ed Graff, who had some equipment on loan from Drexel University that they got from the Navy, and I was using this. They were actually showing me what they had done, but they didn't have the authority where they were at to do all the research they wanted, so they came up because I was known for doing some esoteric research. I didn't have any limitations on what I would do, and I had my whole floor up at the Institute. In fact, Bob Houston yesterday was remarking, he was on the show, and Bob's this one of the wonderful scholars, and he and I did the first article together on the politics of cancer, and that opened the door for dozens of other articles that we did, including the one that was on 60 Minutes and the one that was on 2020, won 2 Emmys. And that opened the door to Peter Barry Chalka and Gabe Pressman, all these other people, but the door was then open. So in any case, Bob would come over to the Institute, and I asked him as a scientific researcher to validate some of the studies I was doing. And that's where he met Linus Pauling and some other very interesting people, Dr. Manuel Ribisi. So here I had this machine that measured more than calories. In effect, it measured the vital life force, or the energy of a plant. And we measured the vital life force, and what I found was on a scale of 0, meaning dead, to 10, meaning the highest level of energy, 9 and 10 is what you needed if you wanted to reverse disease and really supercharge your immune system. And those would be things like fresh organic juices and fresh fruits and fresh salad greens, things that were in their freshest, organic, raw state. Now, the more processing that occurred, the lower down that scale went. And then there was a demarcation, which was 5. If you had a diet that was principally above 5, you could maintain health. If you had a diet that was principally below 5, you'd maintain disease. So French fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, colas, coffee, sugars, artificial sweeteners, those were all in the generally 0 to 2. But the healthy vegan plant-based diet was 5 and above. And the really high-end diet was juicing and raw foods. That's were 9 and 10. So I gave the rats, 1,000 rats, 9s and 10s only. So I'd go in each day and I'd make fresh organic juices, and I'd get a chlorella, and they had seaweed, and they had the rats had a diet that most humans would never eat, that pure and potent a diet in their life. And here's how it went. This is the conclusion. At the end of 3 months, I had to stop this study with the doctor's diet because they were getting obese, they were lethargic. Some became cannibalistic. They were highly irritated. So out of humanitarian reasons, I had to stop the diet and reverse it. And the standard rat chow diet, they lived their standard life and died at the end of that normal life. But those rats that were on the living foods diet, and I didn't believe in cages, so there was no cages. They could run around this whole 3,000 square foot space and all day long. And by the way, in all those decades, I never once was bitten by a rat. And it'd freak other people out to come up and see all these rats running around. But they lived at least 30% longer, and some lived up to almost 70% longer. So that's where I then took that diet across the street at Trafalgar Hospital, where I was a trustee, and also knowing the director of the hospital, I was able to work with some of the patients, and then I was using this diet on the patients. I'm a registered dietitian. I'm a clinical nutritionist. I'm a PhD in human nutrition and public health science, and I was a research fellow, so I was qualified to direct that diet. And the dietitians there were just flabbergasted. They had no idea why all this stuff was being given to these people, and one of the people I worked with happened to have been my editor at a major publishing company who I didn't know had terminal cancer. And she was the next step to hospice care. And over a period of about a year and a half, she reversed her cancer. So when people wonder, well, gee whiz, how did that, Gary, did you get to where you're helping people today? It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't an epiphany. It took a long time of testing and trying to see what worked. So with that, I give you this. 6 body tissues that can be rejuvenated through nutrition. Now, we're told none can. Well, they're right. None can. We're also told that your heart can't change, your brain can never grow a new neuron. They're absolutely right. That you cannot reverse, slow down, or even change the aging process. It is inevitable. It will happen its own accord, and you have no input on it. They're right. They're absolutely right. So whatever your doctor, scientist, public health officials, head of the CDC, Surgeon General says, your writers at the different news media, they're all right. But I'm right. Here's the difference. If Bannister was wrong until he broke the 4-minute mile, then everyone else was wrong for believing it wasn't possible. But I'm not alone. There are thousands of physicians and nurses and chiropractors and naturopaths and homeopaths and health counselors and wellness counselors who are following these similar regimens and getting good results. So we have two rights here, and that's the unique concept of living in America. The dominant right controls everything. But the honest universal right is almost always attacked, suppressed, denigrated, put upon with words like quack and pseudoscience. In point of fact, using good science, we're right. So it's your choice what you want to believe. Let me tell you now some of the things we know can be rejuvenated. And we have cured patients. They don't. They can't show me a single person they reversed their Alzheimer's. I can't. Not a single person, multiple sclerosis end stage. It's done. I've had him on the show here. Multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's. So here's what can be rejuvenated. And this is based upon the scientific literature. So either A, they never get around or have the time to read the scientific literature, which is possible, or they don't want to know what's in the scientific literature if it challenges their core beliefs, because then what do? I mean, think of that for a moment. What exactly do you do if you're so certain that what you believe and what you've been doing is right, or who you believe in is right, who you voted for is right, and then one day someone pulls back the curtain and there is the wizard? Just one big fraud. Well, the Democratic Party, the corporate parties, the Republican Party, the mainstream media, they're all frauds. You know that and I know that. So let them have their own way, but we're just not going to keep in line and go over a cliff like all the other sheep. Nerve rejuvenation. Quote, there are actually a broad range of natural compounds with proven nerve regenerative effects. A study in the journal Rejuvenative Research, which is a mainstream respected peer-reviewed journal, for instance, found a combination of blueberries, green tea, and carnosine, carno, C-A-R-N-O, carnosine, S-I-N-E, have the neurogenic, meaning promoting neuron rejuvenation, and stem cell regenerative effects in this animal model of neurodegenerative disease. Here's other neuroregenerative effects. Curcumin, over 7,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature on that. Lion's mane mushroom. Apigenin, A-P-I-G-E-N-I-N. By the way, that you will find in abundance in celery. Once again, back to that celery juice. Blueberries. By the way, if you had to select one fruit above all others to be the super fruit, I would say it's a tie. I would say it's blueberries and grapes. The grape seed, the grape skin, resveratrol, it's just a superstar. But the blueberries also a superstar. They're about equal. They're both terrific for turning off inflammation in the joints, helping to thin the blood, helping with their pigments as phytonutrients to help with the chlorophyll in your body, helping with your brain. So you want a younger brain, blueberries and grapes. Ginseng, and by the way, I was going to do a debate. And I like to prepare for my debates. And this is when I was debating almost every month. The Cattle Association, the Cosmetic Association, the Sugar Institute. I was running around debating on network television all the time. And I would just do my homework up at Flowers Fifth Avenue Hospital. I'd go there, and my brothers, Stephen and Howard, we'd look at every single study. And I'd study this, and then when I'd go on, I don't believe in blood sport. I don't believe in denigrating the other person. Let them have their say. Let the public decide if they believe one, the other, neither, or both. But I wanted my evidence. So the subject of ginseng came up, and this person made the mistake of saying, well, there's no science on that. I just let him talk. At that point, I pulled out a book, and I handed it to him. And I said, in this book are 5,300 studies in the peer-reviewed literature on ginseng, and that's just from China. And that's referenced to the National Academy of Sciences in China, equivalent to our National Academy of Sciences in the United States. Now, mind you, it's probably triple that today. So if someone says, well, ginseng doesn't do anything, yeah, well, you could say that about your brain as well. So the science is there to support it. Use ginseng daily. Hyperazine, H-U-P-E-R-Z-I-N-E, natto, there's one of your fermented foods from soy, N-A-T-T-O, red sage, resveratrol, once again, there's your grapes, and royal jelly. Royal jelly at one time in the 1970s was the health food in America. We didn't have a lot then, but we sure had royal jelly. Theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E, and ashwagandha, A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-A. And there's also another class of nerve healing substances known as remyelinating. And the myelin sheath is where it becomes damaged and eroded. And that's when you start seeing the symptoms of multiple sclerosis. And that these, however, are remyelinating, and that means they stimulate the repair of the productive sheath around the axon of the nervous system, the neurons, known as myelin, and which is often damaged in neurological injury and dysfunction. So you have good ones there as well. Resveratrol for multiple sclerosis, Siberian ginseng, that's the Eleuthero, red wine concentrate, and N-acetylcysteine. N, the letter N, acetyl, A-C-E-T-Y-L, cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. And you also have cartilage, joint, and spine regeneration. And here the superstar is curcumin. Curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, and resveratrol. Resveratrol. R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L. And it's been shown to improve recovery from spinal cord injury. And over a dozen other natural compounds hold promise in this area, which can be viewed on there's scientific research on spinal cord. Now, yesterday, Robert Houston, who spent more than 15,000 hours in the library, mainly New York University Medical Library, he found that there were approximately 35 substances that have the ability to slow down and reverse the aging of our cells. And he mentioned many, and resveratrol he mentioned, and blueberries he mentioned, almost all your berries. If you want to help your arteries and your heart, oh, well, that's pomegranate. You want to help your joints, that's dark cherry. You want to help your brain, that's blueberries. You want to help digestion and gastric distress and itises, that's your papaya and pineapple and mango. So these are some things we can use now. So those are the different ones that help reverse it. And while I'm at it, I also want to share with you the liver, because so many times people start off getting a chemotherapy, and that really plays havoc with your liver. And then you're not able to remove toxins from the body. You can't conjugate them and get them out easily. And you can also synthesize nutrients and combine them in ways the body cells can use easily. So some doctors won't work with you, holistic doctors, if you've had a lot of chemotherapy. Others will. I believe that no matter what, we can rejuvenate the liver. 3 chlorophyll compounds taken 3 times a day, wheatgrass powder, chlorella powder, and spirulina powder, taken a teaspoon each, with ginger juice, lemon juice, and apple cider vinegar are terrific. And also I put a scoop of modified citrus pectin. It's good for the liver. Anyhow, what we know is glycyrrhizin, which is a compound found in licorice, is good. And that's also a good anti-SARS viral agent. It has antiviral properties. And it also, we have curcumin, Korean ginseng, rooibos, R-O-O-L-B-O-S, and vitamin E. And vitamin E in a mixed compound, meaning tocopherols and tocotrienols. They're both fractions, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Take the mixed tocopherols and tocotrienols together. Then you have beta cell regeneration. And the medical community has yet to harness the diabetes-reversing potential of natural compounds, whereas expensive stem cell therapies and islet cell transplants and an array of other synthetic drugs in the development pipeline are the focus of billions of dollars in research annually. And yet we have a lot of things right in our kitchen that can make a difference with diabetes. The great sugar destroyer is Gymenna, G-Y-M-E-N-N-A, Sylvestria, S-Y-L-V-E-S-T-R-E, and Nigella, which is black cumin. And black cumin for diabetes 3 times a day is absolutely essential. Boy, if there was just one anti-inflammatory, one thing, it would be black cumin. But again, I don't recommend people just take it because it can be really bitter. It's best to take it in a smoothie. And then vitamin D, curcumin, arginine, avocados, berberine, which is a bitter herb, and bitter herbs like golden seal and barberry are good. Bitter melon, that's one of the best things in the world to use if you have HIV infection. In fact, we used to have a kitchen where all day long, all day and all night, I hired people working 3 shifts from early in the morning till midnight, just making special drinks and bitter melon. We would go through cases of it a day, of the organic raw bitter melon juice. Boy, is it a great antiviral. Really does good. Good for herpes, good for hepatitis. Swiss chard, yes, the green leafy vegetable, corn silk, and stevia, and sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is the sulfur component of broccoli sprouts. And then these help the beta cell regeneration in diabetics, and also hormone regeneration. There's a lot of good work that vitamin C is at the top of that list, and for hormone rebalancing. But also hormone rebalancing can be helped with Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Vitex, and Black Cohosh. And then cardiac cell regeneration. Not long ago, virtually all the cardiologists in America believed or were told that nothing can change this tissue. It's incapable of regeneration. Not true. Not true. You can. In fact, a new but rapidly growing body of experimental research now indicates that this is simply wrong. And there is a class of heart tissue regenerative compounds known as neocardiogenic substances. And these neocardiogenic substances help stimulate new heart cell growth. And I would put on that at the top of my list would be things such as magnesium, coenzyme Q10, and the hot peppers of vitamin E, very important, and L-carnitine. And finally, grapefruit's essential oil offers 10 powerful health benefits, including protection against cancer. So most people have never used grapefruit essential oil. I like to juice the whole grapefruit, skin and seeds, the whole thing, because you got caprylic acid, which is good for parasites and good for worms and good for yeast in the body. And so it's good as a preventative, but it also in the skin, you have some very strong anti-cancer properties. And it's a natural blood thinner, and it's a natural diuretic, and it's just terrific for you, the grapefruit, and especially if you had the skin. So if the oil is pressed out, and it's naturally rich in these antioxidants and phytochemicals, and there's one of them called limonene, L-I-M-O-N-E-N-E, and vitamin C. And here's what grapefruit essential oil can do for you. Cellular protection against cancer. In fact, limonene comprises up to 95% of the grapefruit oil's essential oil. It's a phytonutrient antioxidant. It protects against cancer and tumors, and it also protects your DNA from being damaged. It helps you relax. It uplifts you. It lowers blood pressure, improves your energy, improves your focus, promotes a removal of toxins from the body through the lymphatic system. It's antibacterial. It's antimicrobial. It fights a whole variety of illnesses, foodborne illnesses like E. coli and Salmonella. It assists in fungal infection destruction, and it reduces inflammation, improves your skin, and supports digestion. So how about that? And I also promised you more on the nutrients that are good for your bones. My milk is not, but I'm looking at the clock, and we're going to run out of time for the other things. So I'll start tomorrow's program by giving you the latest on how to prevent osteoporosis, why milk is not good for you, and why, what's wrong with milk? What specifically does it not do? How did we get to where we believe that milk builds strong bones when it actually weakens our bones? That's the latest on health and healing. Let me just squeeze one of our environmental pieces in at the same time before we take our break. This is from Professor Al-Azawi from Global Research. Quote, depleted uranium and radioactive contamination in Iraq, an overview. And I'll just read a sentence here. The whole study is up on my website. The amount of devastation caused by the depleted uranium weaponry used against Iraq during the consecutive U.S.-led wars is historically unprecedented in modern warfare. The devastating magnitude of the complications and damage caused by the result, as a result of the use of such radioactive and toxic weapons on the environment and the human population was intensified as a result of the international concealment and denial and misleading information released by the Pentagon about the questions, characteristics, and the Iraqis' areas within which these weapons were used. Information revealed about the severe illness known as Gulf War Syndrome, when spread amongst U.S. Army veterans who were exposed to depleted uranium while using the weaponry, helped Iraq researchers and medical directors to understand the nature of the effects of these weapons. Now, here's my own experience. I produced two multi-award-winning documentaries. Gulf War Syndrome, Killing Our Own, was the newest one. And in it, I interviewed top people in the U.S. Armed Forces. I went down to Washington. I interviewed legislators. I went up to Connecticut, Congressman Dodd. And they all said the same thing. We didn't know. But that's not true. The Army did know. And I know that for a fact because the Army's top expert, a captain, Doug Rocky, was sent over there to actually test for depleted uranium and then do the research, and he came back and he had this devastating report. Yes, this stuff is deadly. Depleted doesn't mean that it's without irradiation. It just has a little less than what it did in its original form. But it's actually worse because where people were having bullets on their body, those were those were tipped with depleted uranium. So now they got all these different sores and ulcers and tumors all around their reproductive system. And then it blows up, a bomb blows up, now it goes into the air and it goes in the water and it goes in the soil. You can't get rid of it. It's impossible to get rid of this stuff. And they're breathing it. And while doing the, while all the filming was going on in Iraq, there was in Fallujah, there's a hospital, and a doctor presented thousands of photographs of babies, and it took a year to smuggle those out of the country. But I showed them in the film, at the end of the film. It's very sobering. You'll see things that we've never seen in America before. Psychops babies. I mean, babies literally with an eye in the middle of their head, one eye. Two brains in the same skull. No brains at all. All these different deformities that they had never seen before. And the doctor said this was the impact of the environment and depleted uranium. And they were encouraging people, don't have a baby, not at this time. The incidence of birth defects, according to the medical staff at the hospital, shot through the roof. And yet no one would take responsibility. To this day, no one's taken responsibility. But fortunately, for those who have been in the theater, we started working with people back in 1991 at the Tri-State Healing Center. And I work with hundreds of vets who had Gulf War syndrome. And we were able to help most of them, and some completely reverse their situation. But how can you help people if you're denying that it's real? But it is real. There are over 40 studies in the scientific literature showing Gulf War syndrome is real. So depleted uranium is still there. That's one of the legacies we left in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, in the Balkans. Everywhere we set off munitions, we leave behind this very deadly substance. And we should just let the world know it. And then at some point, when we have an honest politician, well, I'm not that optimistic we'll ever have such a person, but if we ever do, maybe we can have someone actually address this and let you know the truth. That's the latest on health, healing, and the environment. I'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
All right, that was President Eisenhower in his farewell speech. Today, we have one president after another, including a president who is absurdly given a Nobel Peace Prize, the same Peace Prize Martin Luther King gave. Could you imagine if Martin Luther King were here today? He would march against bigotry peacefully. He would march against those who sow violence, but he would respect their rights under the Constitution, because he would be the first to tell you, if you take away a person's right to speak on something, even if what they're saying is vile and reprehensible to any decent and ethical discourse, then what is to prevent that door from swinging back at you, where someone doesn't want to hear from a progressive or a liberal or a humanist or a spiritualist or a farmer or an environmentalist or an activist? And that's a lesson we should learn from fascism in Italy, in Germany, Stalinism in Russia, Maoism in China, and even the fascism in Chile's with Pinochet, and in Cuba under Castro. And I've been to Cuba, and I've been able to speak with a former head of their national security. So I have an idea of how much racism actually exists in Cuba, though it's denied, and how many things we're taught are lies. And so I have a chance to go firsthand and see the truth for myself. So what I see today is I see people who we all should respect because they sought change within a system, and yet the system betrayed them. The system betrayed Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. It betrayed everyone, including later Robert Kennedy, when he no longer was a part of that system, as was his brother. They initially were, then they went against it. So we have a history of thinking we're exceptional. We're not. There's always been good Americans. There's always been good movements. There's always been unique individuals who stood out on principle and sacrifice for their truths. But I have not met one of those people in my life, whether it was Stokely Carmichael, who's a friend, or Dick Gregory. Tomorrow's entire noon show is devoted to Dick Gregory, where you're going to hear some of the interviews I did, my own with him, my own comments about our friendship and what I found unique about him throughout his life and what he was saying in the last year of his life, because I believe it's important we just not say, okay, someone's gone, and just go on with the next day. Let us just take a moment in time and reflect upon what did that person do for us. In any case, if King were alive today, he would be appalled at people who do not want the other person to have a right to say anything. He'd be appalled at the movement right now in Congress by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others to make it against the law, where you could be fined and imprisoned if you speak out against the apartheid against Palestinians by Israel. He'd be appalled by universities deciding because someone at the university did not like how someone else was speaking on a topic, and based upon their identity politics, that they wanted to terrorize that environment, keep those people from speaking. Martin Luther King would be the first, and did in his life, debate people on issues, as did Malcolm X. Can you ever remember a debate that Malcolm X lost? Can you remember a debate that Muhammad Ali lost? I can't, and I watched them. Or James Baldwin and others. So just imagine then that someone says, we're banning you from the internet, your website, because we don't believe in what you're saying. We find it offensive. We don't like your form of freedoms. We only support our freedoms, our identity, our politics. Well, then better rename New York, State New York City, because they're based upon a man named York, and he was a slave dealer. And also, just let's start, for those of you who are banning everything today based upon identity politics, let's start by you tearing up today. I mean, just tear them up or give them away so you're no longer tainted with them. some dollar bills. How about the $20 bill and the $50 bill and the $5 bill? Take a look at whose picture's on there and ask yourself if you are against that emblem, that moniker, that statue that represents in any way the degradation of another culture, another person, another race, another tribe, then don't keep their money. Give that away at the same time. I'd like to make sure that there's no hidden hypocrisy in all this. What we're losing right now is our minds and our perspective. We're losing the big picture because I don't see either party. I don't see the Democrats or Republicans. I don't see the media focusing upon the fact that you had over 900 known dead in Sierra Leone in a flood around Freetown, their capital, because these were the poorest of the poor. And it's expected to go to as high as 1,100 dead. 1,100 dead, not a word. Not a word. No, nothing about it. We have one of the worst wildfires in Canadian history right now. Not a word. We have a typhoon hitting Singapore and other islands. Nothing. So we have 18 million poor people, children, going to bed hungry each night, empty bellies. Not a word. Not a movement. We have wars going on around the world. We are encamped, boots on the ground, and taking territory from a sovereign nation, Syria. Not a word from the left or right. Not a word about what we did in a genocide in Libya. Not a word of holding anyone accountable. Not a word about how we can help de-ghettoize America, provide public education for free, help universal health care, open up the prisons and allow all those people's records to be expunged and allow those people to go free and regain life because they were there for drug charges. Not a word about stopping this stupid, vile war on drugs. Not a word about our completely corrupt, vile, and deadly medical-industrial complex that dwarfs the military-industrial complex. Not a word about how much we spend on weapon systems that we know in advance will never see the light of day because of they'll become redundant by the time the first group is finished. Now we're already on the second, third, fourth group. It's a perpetual cancer that is metastasized over the psyche of America, and we're not aware of it. Bureaucracies run amok. Our government that controls everything we do, listens to everything, watches us, that wants to know every single thing about our lives, but they have no law on their side to do it. So they break the law. And when a person comes forward with the courage to inform us, we accuse the person. We accuse the person of being a traitor. A traitor for what? Let's just stop for a moment and be reasonable. If a person is so offended by the corruption, the crimes against humanity that they see committed by their own government and risk their life, their reputation, their fortune to go forward and tell us that, why should we pay attention to punishing the people for breaking a law when the law he broke was protecting the people committing a crime? I'd rather know about the crimes that we have committed as a nation against our own citizens and citizens of the world. That is what should be the attention, not the person who leaked the information. We have our values ass backwards. So before you listen to another thing that a president says, understand something. Who designed the malware worm that is now wreaking havoc on tens of thousands of computers internationally by hackers demanding a king's ransom? The U.S. government. And according to John Whitehead, who is the biggest black market buyer and stockpiler of cyber weapons, meaning weaponized malware that can be used to hack into computer systems and spy on citizens and destabilize vast computer networks? The United States government. And what country has one of the deadliest arsenals of weapons of mass destruction? The United States government. And who's the largest weapons manufacturer and exporter in the world? The United States government. And which is the only country to ever use a nuclear weapon on citizens that were not, that in any way a threat to us? The United States government. And how did Saddam Hussein build Iraq's massive arsenal of tanks and planes and missiles and chemical weapons during the 1980s to use against Iran? The United States government. and who gave Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda access to a fortune in covert funding and top-level combat weaponry? The United States government. And what country has a pattern and a practice of entrapment that involves targeting vulnerable individuals, feeding them into the propaganda, know-how, and weapons intended to turn them into terrorists, and then arresting them as part of an elaborate orchestrated counterterrorism sting? The United States government. And where did ISIS get many of their deadliest weapons, including assault rifles and tanks, to anti-missile defenses? The United States government. And which country has the history of secretly testing out dangerous weapons and techniques on its own citizens? The United States government. Are you getting the picture yet? The United States government isn't protecting us from terrorism. The United States government is creating the terror. It is, in fact, the source of the terror. Just think about it. In just a moment, almost every tyranny being perpetrated against the citizens purportedly to keep us safe and the nation secure has come about as a result of some threat manufactured in one way or another by our own government. Cyber warfare and terrorism, biochemical attacks, the nuclear arms race, surveillance, the drug wars. In almost every instance, the United States government has, in its typical Machiavellian fashion, sown the seeds of terror domestically and internationally in order to expand its own totalitarian powers, hence the military-industrial complex. So, there are consequences to this. Now, let's go to Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, you have one of the most corrupt countries in the world. How corrupt? According to the latest statistics from the Corporations Perspective Index, the Transparency International Index of 2016, Afghanistan ranks 169th of 176 countries for corruption. The U.S. puppet at the time was Karzai, and he gave $980 million, almost $1 billion, of fraudulent loans to corrupt buddies. How many of those people were found guilty? Was he found guilty for doing? Not at all. Almost all of this was from the billions the U.S. Government has pumped into Afghanistan. MIT Technology Review, Afghan National Police are the most corrupt in the world. So bribery is rampant throughout every segment of society for receiving any kind of public service, including education. And so we're going to go in there with 4,000 people and we're going to win a war? No. These are the generals. These are the talking heads of the military-industrial complex. These are the most maladaptive people that only represents their own limited egos. And untie their hands? We've had no hands tied in the entire expedition of foreign interventions in our history. We do what we want to do without consequence. And there's a long history. Go back to Alexander the Great in 320 BC, 330 BC, he tried and failed. The Arab Caliphate between 7th and 9th centuries, which converted the land to Islam, before it was a very peaceful Buddhist kingdom. The Mongol Empire and Genghis Khan in 1219. The brutal Tamerlane, which are the Timur, and the Indian Mughal Empire in 1383. The Sikh Empire invasion in 1846. Twice by the British, 1838 and 1842, and the Anglo-Afghan War and the Second Anglo-Afghan War in 1878. The Soviet invasion, they were there for over 13 years, and the Afghan government requested Soviet intervention to help against the U.S.-funded Mujahideen, and then the U.S. invasion in 2001. The first strikes in 2001 killed over 20,000, mainly citizens, and they've killed over 100,000 since. So it's never been conquered. So suddenly, going to conquer it by talking tough and allowing an incredible amount of spending by the United States Armed Forces. And then you have, according to a Pentagon, the U.S. Geological Survey, the report said there's untold and unknown untapped mineral resources. The GP said, like, we're going to develop it economically. No, that's a direct line to the treasurers there. Over $1 trillion, other sources say $3 trillion worth of iron, copper, cobalt, gold, critical industrial metals like lithium, which is being called the Saudi Arabian lithium. An early Soviet survey showed high amounts of a mineral used in wind turbines, They have uranium, zinc, and others. And the New York Times article said that Afghan National Army, the main traffickers of opium. So we have a war on drugs, and yet the number one place in the world where drugs are coming from is Afghanistan, and that's because our allies there are the drug lords, and all done with the cooperation and complete complicity of the United States government and the Afghan authorities. So how in the world can you arrest a kid and put him in jail for using heroin when you're actually subsidizing and the army is protecting the growing of that poppy from which heroin comes from in Afghanistan? Do you really think that we're all that dumb? So all the Democrats have, and as corrupt as they are, and they are equally as corrupt as anyone else in the history of this government, they all support multinationalism. They all support globalization. They all support the neoliberalism. They all support the wars. They all support the nation changes and nation building. They all support the military-industrial complex. They also support everything that goes on. You didn't hear anyone doing anything with Afghan, its corruption, and we're supposed to train them so they can take over. We just spent all this money, billions of dollars, training them. And all we got were phantom people, meaning we were paying for thousands of people that did not exist, but that money went to someone's pocket. And U.S. weapons that get smuggled to the Taliban from the army? Yeah. So just remember, in the year 2000, the Taliban worked with the UN to ban poppy cultivation. There was only 8,000 hectares. Today, it's over 230,000 hectares, largest in the world. But most of that's in the hands of the Taliban. So we have a completely corrupt situation. And finally, just to let you know how bad it is by the numbers, because this is what the media, and especially those goofball clowns on Fox. I don't know what you have to do to get hired at Fox. Do you have to prove that you have no integrity, no intellect, no capacity for scholarship? You have to be just a shill for conservative and fascist reason? I guess it's the same at MSNBC. These are just dancing clowns. But here's the reality on the ground. 104,000 have been killed, mainly in armed conflict in Afghanistan. Well, most of those are civilians. Have we apologized? Not at all. We have. We currently have 8,400 U.S. troops stationed in Afghanistan. But that doesn't tell us how many private contractors we have, which act just like troops. We have 1.4 million refugees that we've created there. We have killed 22,100 Pakistani civilians. We have spent $800 billion directly. But then when you add in, according to Joseph Stiglitz and others, the actual extended cost of the conflict, it's $4.8 trillion. Just think of that. Every problem we have in America could be solved. We could put at least 50 million Americans to work. We could reindustrialize America. We could redo our entire infrastructure on the same money that we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan. And for that, we've got nothing but dead bodies, damaged bodies, and people coming home who are shell-shocked and now kill themselves one a day. It's almost one an hour. It's killing themselves. One an hour. And not a word about it. No help for them. Giving them psychiatric drugs. So everything you could possibly do wrong, we have done wrong. And now we have the people in power, the generals, who are now just happy as can be because the neocons, the military-industrial complex, will get us once again engaged. We have done nothing except spend human lives and suffering. There. What a fool. What an embarrassing fool. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for listening and have a nice day.